I think it'll be obvious to you within the next minute or so that in choosing substitute preachers, Colleen takes great license in selecting people who are totally unqualified for the task at hand. As long as they have a willing heart and a desire to share their love for the Lord. I am definitely a nervous public speaker and take some comfort in the fact that 99% of you sitting out there feel the same way and are just happy I'm up here this morning and you are not. When Colleen approached me a couple of months ago and I began to think about the possibility, I was actually happy and thankful for this opportunity, and I'll tell you why. Being up here gives me the opportunity to thank you publicly for the ways you have supported me and my family for the last 24 years since we moved to Mason and joined this church. So many of you sitting out there have been active participants in the lives of my children, and I just don't have words to thank you enough for modeling healthy, active Christian living in the ways that you have done, and it's increased my faith immensely. From the bottom of my heart, I say thank you. Will you join me in prayer? Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill this place so that we can worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So as I read and meditated on the scriptures for today, the recurring thought in my mind had to do with time. We've all heard numerous sermons about various aspects of time and God's timing, and today we're going to hear another one. I know that this topic has a lot to do with me personally, but I hope there is some application here we can all benefit from. You see, in another week, Lord willing, I'll celebrate the milestone of my 50th birthday. I've joked with Melanie a lot in the last decade or so that while getting older, I'm still not quite middle-aged yet because I hadn't reached 50 yet. I suppose that in reality, I'm being optimistic since none of us knows the number of our years. The 90th Psalm tells us that as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. It goes on to instruct us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Just out of curiosity, I looked up my life expectancy on the Social Security website and found out that they estimate I will make it to 82.2 years, which would mean that I've actually been living in the second half of my life for the past 9 years. Well, that kind of got me to thinking. Since we're in football season and all pretty familiar with sports analogies, I thought I'd try framing this conversation around the concept of halftime. You may be more comfortable thinking about basketball or soccer or something else, but I think the same concept about halftime applies regardless of the sport and can be applied at any stage of life. So what happens at halftime? Sometimes nothing much, and sometimes quite a lot. We've all experienced sporting events where after halftime, we commented, "I wonder what the coach said in that locker room. This doesn't even look like the same team." We might wonder if the coach offered inspiring words of encouragement or if he just did a lot of yelling. I once had a coach who kicked something across the room to get our attention. No, it wasn't me. Probably many of us have experienced both kinds of half times in our lives that helped give us the attitude adjustment we needed to perform better in the second half. A lot of how we receive advice from any coach depends on how the game of our lives has been going so far. Now, I'm a firm believer that no man walks in another man's shoes. For many of us, life is going okay on a daily basis. Sure, there are some things we'd change, but our families are healthy for the most part, and we have food on our tables. We might even be content enough to believe that no changes are needed for the second half. The prophet Habakkuk, on the other hand, was not content with what he observed in the world around him. He cried out to the Lord to explain why he was surrounded by wickedness, destruction, violence, and strife. He earnestly and expectantly pled with the Lord about human suffering and, thanks be to God, received an answer that still speaks to us today. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we find Habakkuk stationed at his guard post, keeping watch for an answer from the Almighty. When the Lord speaks to him, saying, "Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it certainly will come, it will not delay." Through earnest pleading with God, Habakkuk learns and teaches us that the righteous are called to live by faith. And often that can feel like a very long, slow process. The good news about this to me is that we're not called to live by faith in a vacuum. In fact, I don't think I could live by faith were I not supported by the faith of others within and beyond the walls of this church. And if I feel the support and dependence on your faith to maintain my own, don't I also have an obligation to share that faith with others? Don't we all? In our lives with Christ, I think we can have numerous halftime experiences where, through the intervention of some coach in our lives, we can understand better that we need to keep giving God our best effort. That coach might be a friend or a coworker or someone we don't even know very well, but through their words or actions, they provide just what we need to hear to understand how to think differently in the future. Maybe we've been performing just enough to sort of stay in the game. We need to stay engaged with our church family and service to others. We need to be in ministry beyond the walls of this church to offer help and hope in places where there's clearly not enough of either. And we all know that we don't have to look very far to find those places and those people, even in Mason County and even in our own neighborhoods. When was the last time you or I prayed earnestly for God to show us a way to get more involved or to bring to our attention someone with whom we might share his love and his grace? Can you imagine how different our world would be if we all focused our attention less on our immediate needs and more on the needs around us? I stand before you guilty of this, but I also look out and see inspiring examples in our midst of people who do get involved in mentoring, who out of their love for Christ, work for Mason County Habitat for Humanity, who are involved in the Mason County Child Welfare Board and Bluebonnet CASA, and the list goes on and on. I personally have opportunities sometimes to discuss matters of faith with people in my office who feel comfortable sharing their personal struggles, and I pray that God will provide me with the right words of encouragement. Melanie and I try to live our faith by allocating our volunteer hours and financial resources in ways that help other people and glorify God. In sports, halftime is also important because a lot of the players are really, really tired. The game of life is hard, and we do live under constant strain. There are lots of people we know who are struggling every day. They may feel like the game of their life isn't going according to plan, and they may be crying out to God for changes. That's certainly what Habakkuk was doing. I was really encouraged to find that Habakkuk was in the lectionary for this morning. It's one of the smallest books in the Old Testament and is only included for us to hear from once every 3 years. It's also the book that we've been using in my Bible study, and I've learned a lot more from this obscure minor prophet than I ever expected possible. So maybe that's why we're here with each other this morning, to rest a little and to encourage each other for the week ahead. Sharing our prayer concerns in this body of Christ is very effective in dividing our sorrows and multiplying our joys as we lift them up to our Heavenly Father. The half times of our lives are opportunities to change our attitudes and call each other to higher living. I don't know about you, but it's pretty easy for me to become distracted by all the noise of our daily lives. We do live in a very busy and very confusing world. Thankfully, just like Jesus called Zacchaeus down from the tree and led him to salvation, there is hope for all of us. I think we should all be a little more like Zacchaeus, willing to go out of our way to get a glimpse of Jesus on the street among our everyday circumstances, and then be willing to change our attitudes and outlooks and share our resources to tell others the good news that Jesus and Jesus alone saves. We may not have to climb a tree to see Jesus, but we may have to be willing to set aside time by turning off the TV, by opening that Bible that's been gathering a little dust, or by simply taking time to talk to others during the day who need our attention and our encouragement. The story of Zacchaeus is another reminder that life is going to be better once we find and accept Jesus into our hearts. Several years ago, at a dedication ceremony for the new pavilion at the tennis courts, we heard a great story that I thought might be appropriate to share with those of you who didn't hear it firsthand. Corky Eckert was speaking and talking about the tennis group that has met out at Billy and Francis Bodie's for decades of tennis on Sunday afternoons. He shared that after tennis one day, when they were sitting around, Billy Bodie started to tell a story, and Francis interrupted, saying, "Billy, these people have heard that story 100 times. Billy didn't skip a beat, replying immediately, "Then they're about to hear it 101. I think each of us needs to be willing to be that persistent in telling the good news that Jesus saves, even to those who we think know it already. This good news bears repeating 101 times to our families, to our coworkers, to our friends and acquaintances, and even to people we don't know yet. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. Thank you for being my teammates all these years and supporting me in the first half of my life. I think I'm finally listening better to our coach and earnestly want to play better in the second half. I know I can do better with His help and with yours. Whether that second half lasts another 50 years, or another 5 years, or another 5 months, I want all of us to live in such a way and run the race before us in such a way that when we cross the finish line, we'll hear the words from Matthew 25:23 that say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I know that each of you will continue to encourage each other, and I challenge you to continue to challenge each other and to challenge me to live better second halves in service to our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.